Back with another episode, and I have another special guest today. Special guest, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Of course, Ebony. Hi, my name's Evelyn Nakigude. I'm the co-founder of Must Hair. It's a family-run business, and we develop premium hair products for women of colour.
Cool. Okay, so if you haven't seen any of Miss Hair's products around on the internet, because I've seen that you guys have been doing some influencer marketing at the moment. I saw for Mother's Day you had a campaign with Grace Adjelore.
Yes,
we did. So while I was watching her doing a hee-hee-hee, ha-ha-ha, I was just like, oh wait, Miss Hair's giving out like spa days. So that's really cool to see you guys really pushing your brand forward. So in a nutshell, could you tell us what your product is and what it does?
Of course. So our product is basically allowing women to wear their hair with confidence, whether they've got thinning edges or balding spots, and it's for them to conceal. It is in no way going to grow the hair.
Okay.
It's just like makeup.
Yeah.
You put it on to enhance what you already have. As you do that, you're allowed to wear your hair with confidence, really.
Cool. So I think it's very appropriate that we kind of came together, you know, the podcast being called Snatched Edges.
Mm-hmm.
And some women, you know, maybe through their own doing or through like styling or even just like genetically maybe not have been blessed with like full luscious edges. So your product gives everybody the chance to, you know, lay them baby hairs down and make sure
that
they
right.
have a really full hairline.
That's correct. That's make cool. sure the edges are laid and slayed.
Okay, laid and slayed. Cool. And kind of talk me through it. If people kind of sitting back being like, okay, wait, what? I can get my edges back. But you said it doesn't grow your edges. So what actually does your product do then?
So the benefits of using our hair foundation is that it will give you confidence by instantly improving the appearance of your hair.
Okay, cool.
And it will also give you your hairline back in a sense that what was missing is now reappearing.
Yeah.
And then it also gives you the choice, so you don't have the restriction on the particular hair type that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got kinky, coily, straight, whether it's in locks or it's in braids or it's in weaves, you can use the product. And it also gives you the convenience, so you can control the thickness and the fullness of your hair in just seconds. And it also allows you to basically wear your hair without any damage.
Yeah.
And in doing that, you don't have to worry about all the problem areas showing.
Cool.
And it looks very natural.
Yeah. And so I think that's a really good point, because I find that when I have clients who have like traction alopecia or thinning hairlines and stuff like that, their biggest question for me is, you know, what styles can I do? And I'm always like, you can do anything you want as long as there's no tension on your hairline. And they get a bit worried that, you know, if they wear their hair back or in a puff, that it's visibly noticeable that, you know, like, you know, their hair is thinner or finer with the edges.
Yes.
So having a product like Miss Hair will make sure that, you know, they can like restore their hairline to its former glory.
So
or even, yeah, or even better, yeah, sometimes, but like, but it's literally just like fibers that are kind of sprayed onto the hair.
That's correct, and it mimics your hair.
Cool.
So as soon as you spray it, it won't look like paint or colour.
Yeah.
It actually mimics your
hair. So it won't look
hair.
Like, I don't know the name of the brand, like Big Gin or something, you know, like.
It Bacon. Won't be paint.
It won't be paint. Paint. You know, the guys get like the shape ups painted,
yes.
and it's just like. You didn't want to like blend, baby. Like, what happened?
So, don't worry, it won't look like a marker or a felt tip.
Cool. Or even like them strong lace fronts
no,
where
no.
it hasn't been like plucked or anything.
Oh, God, no. Okay. It won't look like it's very natural looking.
Yeah.
The only advice we give to our customers is that they're not heavy handed with the product.
Yeah.
So that they use it sparingly and have a light touch when they're spraying the hair fibers in their head.
Cool, so now we understand a bit more about what your product does. Let's talk a bit about you and your business and how you were able to come up with this product and kind of what got you to this stage.
Right, it's a family run business.
Okay,
so it's me.
So who's in the family?
So it's me and my brothers.
Okay.
And it sort of began as a debate or a conversation around round table.
Yeah.
And we all are heavily involved in the business. So everybody had amazing ideas, but no one's idea really stood out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got on the topic of hair and we realized how sensitive that area is. And for men, they're not willing to talk about that. Whereas for women, they're more likely to spend and more likely to worry about their appearances.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a huge discussion and a huge debate around it. And we realized actually, women thinning edges and thinning hair, of especially with women of colour, it's
yeah.
a very big topic and a very
definitely
big area of concern. And that's how we sort of came up with the idea. And I myself have thin edges, and it is self-inflicted, unfortunately. I wanted to make sure I had the best hair and I had the laid edges.
Yeah.
Wanted to be with the follow the latest trends.
So you had that toothbrush out, yeah, with the gel every day, every morning.
Girl. It was laid, and now that I'm older and mature, you have to be a bit more, you know.
You have to be a bit more careful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a bit more driven, and read on what you're using,
mm-hmm.
and look at the effect of the products that you're using, the long-term effect of it,
definitely,
not just a short-term view.
Cool. So let me get this straight. So you and your brothers were kind of at home just chilling, talking about stuff.
Yeah.
And you were just like, we're going to start a business. And then we're like, which business did we start? And it just came to hair. Am I correct?
It's more, my brothers were more entrepreneurial.
Okay.
So they've always wanted to do so. They've always had a business acumen, and they've always wanted to explore that type of area.
Mm-hmm.
I studied business management. So I already had an idea.
Okay.
A view of how businesses run. The only thing is I didn't have an idea that I would fall into.
Okay, you didn't have like a product or like, yeah. Yeah, what market you wanted to go into.
Exactly.
Cool.
It didn't until we brainstormed and then it, you know,
excellent. Together. And so how did you like, because I've seen the product as well, it's beautifully packaged, it looks very, very classy, and I'm just like, oh, this is like, you know, very well put together.
Yes.
Like it could sit in any department store easily. How did you come up with like the branding side of it? Like what kind of market research did you go into? I'm more like, you know, just to find out about how you got from idea to having the hair camouflage kit, like, you know, in my hands today.
Oh, of course. a lot of research.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
We actually went to lots of hairdressers.
Okay.
Living in South London, you do know that there is a hairdresser.
You want to do your hair? You want to do your hair?
That's the South London area.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of research that way, and we wanted to see how people were marketed to.
Okay.
And how did we knew our target was always going to be people of colour.
Yeah.
So the only thing is we wanted to know how were they advertised to, mm-hmm. what do they take in, and what do they not appreciate.
Yeah.
So having gone to the hairdressers, we realised a lot of products are targeted at them, but they don't have a premium quality feel.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are premium quality, they wouldn't be in the hairdressers, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They would always receive most of the information from America.
Okay.
And nothing was UK based. So then we saw that gap in the market in that sense. And we definitely know there isn't a hair brand that's aimed at women of colour using hair fibres.
Yeah,
in the UK. And as a result, that was the gap in the market.
Right.
And that's how we came together with the plan.
So how long has your business been running for now?
So we started in 2017.
Okay, so still fairly, fairly new.
So we're still fairly new, working, yeah. Grinding.
Definitely. But I feel like I've seen you guys about, like as I said, I've seen like some of the marketing you've done online. I've seen you, I think your brother's at events a few times.
Yes.
And so where can people kind of like find you? Like if they're not online and such, like what kind of places do you kind of infiltrate maybe to kind of like, you know, make sure you're spreading the word?
So what we tend to do is go to a lot of hair and makeup events,
mm-hmm.
A lot of them that are aimed at women of colour,
yeah.
And try and be visible at these events. And the next event that we'll probably be visible at is the Afro Hair and Beauty Show.
Okay, cool.
Also the Black Girl Fest,
yeah.
That's another area that we are always sort of visible and mm-hmm. seen.
I just got my tickets for that. Had to make sure that they sold out.
Lucky you! I'm on a waiting list.
Listen, because you know what? The first year, I bought tickets, but I stood outside in Shoreditch for like 2 hours, and I did not make it inside in the cold. And so I was just like, nah. If they've got tickets out, I'm gonna make sure that I get in. So yeah.
Oh, the queue! I was in the queue. It was around doing the sweat, the whole ride.
After a while, I was just like, you know what? I really want to support my black women, but yeah. I've been out here for hours. I cannot. So
this year,
I'm ready.
Which is good. That's the main. That's the main thing. So we try to be visible at most of all these events,
mm-hmm.
And we're always on Instagram. So the easiest way to get hold of us is through Instagram.
Cool.
People can DM us, or they can send us a post, or comment on our post.
Yeah. And I saw that I was on your website today, like snooping, and like you have a little pop up that's like, oh hi, how can we help you? I was like, oh, I have a message for you guys today. But it's good to know that like someone's on the other end.
Yeah.
Ready to answer your questions. Yeah. And so I guess in terms of like developing a product, you would have had to do a lot of research, as you mentioned. So what kind of things did you like find out on your travels through the natural hair world and, you know, figuring out what's good for black hair and what's not so good?
So a lot of reading, to be honest, it's more or less, I used myself as one of the studies because I decided to go on this natural hair journey in 2010.
Okay.
So to speak. So I didn't do the big chop.
Oh, you transitioned.
I transitioned. I wasn't ready for the big chop.
How come?
I just thought, oh, there's hair.
Okay. Was your hair quite long though?
It was long. Okay, it was cool. Long. It was, yeah, shoulder length. And I just couldn't cut it. I just thought, I can transition my way to it. And for me, actually, it was a pretty easy option. And my brother saw the struggle, sort of went through having 20 products in the house.
Mm.
And it felt like a mini shop. Constantly, I'm like, how do you decide what you want? Why are all these decisions?
I mean, I still don't get it. I've never been a product junkie. So when I see girls with like loads of products, I'm just like, but what does what?
And it's more trial and error.
Yeah, but they'll be like, I use this one for this. And that one, though, I'm just like, are you cooking? Or like,
to be honest, it's more like you have to be your own chemist, scientist. Literally your own trichologist, even though you don't have the qualifications, but you feel like you have to.
I mean, there's people out here doing what I do and without qualifications, so.
And but it's always good to try and get expert advice.
Yeah.
So they used me as an example, but they also did their own research by looking at the Mintel report, looking at all the different studies around hair.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there isn't much in the UK, so
yeah.
Most of it is based on African American hair.
Yeah.
And seeing how that works and see if women relate to that in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So we also took out surveys to try and get opinions from people, from the young women and from different age groups as well. Because we noticed that, for example, teenagers to mid-20s have different issues.
Yeah.
Mid-20s to early 30s have completely different requirements.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, the main thing is just to make sure that the hair looks good.
Yeah.
And that they have the crown on their head, they wear it with pride.
Oh, excellent.
And that's the main thing. And we wanted to create premium products. We didn't want something that looked cheap.
Yeah.
We want our customers to know when they buy the product, it is done with care,
mm-hmm.
and it has them in mind, and they know that the products that we use or the ingredients that we have are of quality, and they would allow their hair to grow.
That's so refreshing to hear, because I feel like for black women especially, like even where we get our hair products from, like I have a lot of customers say, like, you know, when they go to different hair shops that are not run by other black people, they kind of go there and be like, oh, what do I need for my hair? And they're having someone from outside telling them what to use.
Yes.
And it feels very kind of like they're a bit fobbed off, or, you know, even recently we're finding out more and more that the ingredients in our products are not very good for us and can
That's
be causing
correct.
A lot of harm in the long run. So to hear that someone, you know, young and black, family run business has done so much research and put so much effort into making sure that black women feel valued when they buy things from them, that's like, I have to commend you guys, because I was even looking at the box like, wow, this is not really like special. Like, I feel like when I open it up, it's going to be like jewellery inside or something. So to hear all that, I have to give you guys a big well done, because it's nice to feel like, okay, this was made for me. Like, you know, the person that designed it considered me in every aspect of this,
yes.
rather than just being like, oh, I just want you know, your money, and here's maybe it might work for you, but not really. I'm just trying to sell, like, you know, as much as I can to get my money and kind of like dip out. So yeah,
I'm glad. That's the aim, to be honest. I guess as we grow and get bigger, our main view is to build a community.
Yeah.
And to allow women of colour, regardless of your hair type,
mm-hmm.
To be able to conversate, exchange ideas, and build a place where you're all comfortable to wear your hair naturally and use products that actually work for your hair.
Cool.
And enhance it.
Good. And so you mentioned before that you were the case study, the inspiration rather, for the product. So could you tell me a little bit more about how you came to be edge deficient?
Oh, wow.
Is that a way to say it?
No, I don't mean it.
How can I say it? You know, how did you cause yourself harm?
How did I cause myself harm? Do you know, I was pretty experimental with my hair.
Yeah.
I would have my hair in braids, I would have it in weaves, I would have it in really high ponytails. And when I was younger, I'm sure you probably relate to this, you gel your hair.
Oh, yeah, every
glued
day.
To
every
your day. Face. Yeah, glued yeah. to your face. If someone had told me this is not good for you, I would have listened. And you had to make sure the hair was rock hard for it to be the style.
Listen.
Yes. So in terms of that, I experimented and I coloured my hair quite a bit as well.
Okay. I feel like we did similar things. So yeah, living the same life.
As a result of that, and it was all in the effort to just make sure that I looked presentable.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I wasn't comfortable with my edges out or leaving my hair out completely.
Yeah.
Until I read and learnt a lot about how beautiful our hair is and what you can do and can't do, and it's okay to just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my body as a result is now showing me that you're not going to wear all of that stuff constantly. You
yeah.
need to let me breathe and let the hairline
yeah, yeah, it starts rejecting it after a while.
It starts rejecting it. And that's how I became to be the study, because they did start noticing. To be honest, I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Because I guess I had a detachment to it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to accept it. But they highlighted that, hold on a minute, the customer group we want to target is you, really.
Oh, shit.
It took a while, but once it hit home, I did agree, because there's a lot of women in my predicament as well that suffer with thinning edges.
Mm-hmm.
And they try everything on the market and it doesn't work for them. As a result, it just makes the situation
worse.
And then I guess as a result of using this product, I know that I spray the hair fibers in the morning to make sure everything looks amazing. Then
yeah.
at night, I massage coconut oil onto my hairline, and that helps.
Okay.
And the main thing is, once you've massaged it, just leave it alone. And
yeah.
a silk scarf does wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's it.
Cool. So you mentioned that. What kind of age would you say that you were mostly kind of experimenting with your hair and stuff?
I would say my teenagers to mid 20s.
Right. You were relaxing in that time as well, yeah?
Bone straight.
Yeah?
Oh my
so
God.
What made you realise that your hair was like... Or could maybe like what I'm trying to say is like, you said you felt like pressure to feel like, you know, acceptable or whatever, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where did that pressure come from? Why did you feel like your hair wasn't acceptable unless like your edges were laid or it was in intricate styles? It couldn't just be like left as is.
To be honest, I would say media and the workplaces and
mm-hmm.
Sort of the environments I was in. And I found I was treated differently when I had straight hair and treatedly when my hair was out.
Really?
And,
how so?
Also the fact that natural hair was hard to manage. I had this misconception in my head that it's just hard.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you have to do it, it takes the whole day.
Yeah.
And it's a misconception, because once you know your hair type and you know the proportionality of your hair, you can do it within 2-3 hours.
Yeah,
you have
definitely.
To do the whole day. But I guess when you're starting out, because you've had all this information and all this information from the internet telling you that it would take a whole day, or other people telling you their versions of stories, but no two people are the same. Someone else's journey is not your journey. And I think I had all of that mixed up. Until I finally said, no, I'm not going to listen to all of this information. Let me listen to myself.
So how did you... Because that's a really important turning point.
Yeah.
And I feel like some people, even like I know for myself, I went natural, but it took me a long time to kind of... I never per se thought of my hair as like, you know, unattractive or ugly or anything like that.
Mm.
But my big chop happened because I wanted to be bald, not because I wanted to be natural. And I just got fed up of relaxing. So it wasn't like this big epiphany like, oh, you know... I'm gonna like, you know, be on the earth and all that stuff. I was kind of like, I can't be bothered to be relaxing and burning my hair and my scalp every time
yeah.
I want to do this. So like, let me try it. And I got excited watching my hair grow.
Yeah.
And I would look to the internet, because I think we went natural about the same time, like that kind of like 2010, 2011, where the natural hair community was very, very small and there was only a few people really doing it.
Existence.
Yeah, you know, you have to be like, I feel like you guys are so lucky these days, because on YouTube before, when I had my little teeny mini afro, I didn't know what I was trying to do with it.
Yeah.
So, what kind of like was around you, like showing me that maybe this, I don't need outside influences, I can kind of like look to myself for like all the inspiration that I need, because I think that's really important, if you could share.
It was actually an epiphany, more to be honest. I had several hairdressers.
Okay.
And I don't know about most people.
You're rich.
I had a hairdresser for each particular style. I had somebody that was good at relaxing.
Yeah.
Had somebody that was good at braiding. Somebody that was good at leave. Somebody that was good at just cutting hair.
Mm-hmm.
Because each hairdresser had their strengths and weaknesses. And then there were others that were terrible at relaxing, and they permed my hair the wrong way, and then it would thin out, and then it would break, and then they would just probably say, "Oh, it's because you haven't done this. That's why it's not working for you."
It's never there.
And it's never there. Or yeah. Some people are very heavy-handed. They would do your hair, and you literally get an instant facelift.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll just say, "Oh, just take
paracetamol,
and it'll help."
Yeah.
But then I would explain, "Hold on, I don't like paracetamol. I don't like taking pills.
Just,
I don't like to do.
Yeah.
So yes,
you have to sleep with your shoulders off."
They're like, "BT is pain," and I just thought, these are not words of encouragement. You're basically telling me, in order for me to look a certain way, I need to suffer.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was appropriate. So, as a result of going to several hairdressers and leaving with pain, and sometimes anxiety, because I sort of spoke to myself, well, thought out loud, why do I need to do this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I can figure this out by myself. I know what I want. And if I need expert help, I'll go to a qualified hairdresser.
Yeah.
That way, if they do see things in my hair, they can actually tell me. Not somebody who likes doing hair, but hasn't got a clue what
the actual, like, integrity, yeah.
Exactly. So I think that's what happened, is that I stopped going to hairdressers and seeking their sort of approval
mm-hmm.
on what was correct for me. I think the one hairdresser I went to, he permed my hair. And then instead of saying good things, he basically said, "Yes, you have long hair, but it's very thin." And it would just continue being thin. And I just thought, you're touching my hair.
Thank you. What do you want to do? If it's going to continue being thin, are you going to give me like a shampoo for it or something?
No, he literally just touched my hair and he's like, "Yeah, it's long, but it's thin. I don't think there's anything we can do about it."
Oh.
And I just thought, you are really speaking into my hair.
Yeah.
And I don't like the fact that you're touching my hair and you're speaking something into existence. And I didn't like that. So as a result, because you have to be careful who touches your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, I didn't like the feeling. And when he did do my hair, it looked good for that day. But after that, it just started sort of breaking.
Yeah, you felt like his words kind of seeped into your hair a little bit.
And
it?
I started to believe that. I was like, "Oh, he did say my hair was always going to be thin. So I guess it's thin."
Oh, that's so horrible. Sorry.
And it was a horrible experience that I guess go through in that sense. But I just thought, I don't need to go through things like this. So I started researching, reading books about it,
mm-hmm.
and making my own product, so to speak.
Okay.
Just being an alchemist.
Yeah,
and trying and error.
Yeah.
trying and error and see what worked. But it's more or less I listen to my body a lot more, and that's how I came to the decision of not allowing just anyone to do my hair.
Cool. So when you say listen to your body, I'm of a similar opinion, but I know some people are sitting at home thinking, my body doesn't talk. What do you mean? Like, what are kind of the signs they can look out for that their body and their hair talking to them that they might have been like ignoring or not really understanding?
First, you do have, when I say listen to your body is constantly talking to you. I'm going off on a tangent.
No, let's go.
Body talks to you in the sense that it reacts.
Yeah.
So when you put a certain product in your hair, you tell that your hair doesn't like it because it's going to go, it will be brittle,
mm-hmm.
It'll probably be all clumpy. That's the sign that it doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put certain oils in your hair, sort of feels softer and easily manageable, it likes that.
Yeah.
I think one oil that it's, I think that most people are indifferent with is coconut oil, because it does wonders for some and irritates others.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing, but there's several other oils you can use that are quite light. So you've got jojoba or jojoba, however you pronounce that
like
oil.
The J-O-J-O.
Exactly, the J-O-J-O.
Yeah.
That oil, I don't think most people are allergic to that. So
no,
I think
that's a really good one, because it's the closest thing to like sebum, I think.
Yes.
So it's like the most natural-ish compared to like the oils that your hair produces.
That's correct. And it's very light and it's breathable.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it, you can apply it onto your face as well.
Yeah.
So my rule of thumb is, whatever you put on your hair, can you put it on your face? Because if you can't, then it really shouldn't be on your face, I guess, at night mainly.
Okay.
But on a day-to-day, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because when you go to sleep, you'd have had a shower, you'd have taken everything off, and then you just use nothing but natural things. So that way, when your body is recuperating and recovering,
Interesting.
You restore yourself for the next day.
So we talked about a horrible hair experience that you had.
Yeah.
Let's flip it and talk about a positive hair experience that you've had. Could you talk me through, maybe like, it doesn't have to be like a salon for someone else, or just one that like sticks out to you, like, oh, this was like a good hair time for me. Like, I don't know if your hair cooperated, really good style, or you just felt really happy with your hair.
From that experience, I started sort of vetting people, because I can't just let anybody do my hair.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more, I feed up how that person comes across.
Okay.
And then I see the type of work they do and look online, go research them. And then...
So you're checking people's LinkedIn pages and Googles and all stuff. Checking their likes on Instagram.
Double check. Yeah. Look at the reviews and see what people write.
Okay.
Because I find that's pretty useful.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they'll always have videos of when they're doing hair. And then I particularly watch out for that,
mm-hmm.
because that will let me know if they're
how they're handling it, yeah.
If they cause you bumps
at
the end.
Oh, you know, the back of my neck just pricks, because I ain't had that feeling in a long time.
And you wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
So a good experience is I had braids done, and this lovely lady, and one of those apple cider vinegar girls, where you need to dip the extensions.
Okay, cool.
Because the extensions got rings in it and it irritates my skin. So I explained the process to her that I actually need you to dip the extensions in apple cider before they go in my skin.
Yeah.
And she was so polite, very understanding. And she got extensions that were, I can't remember the name of it, but she got particular extensions that if you dip them, they'll still have the same length.
So okay, good, yeah.
And she went out of her way just basically to cater to my requirements. And then when she did my hair, she didn't pull it. And then she kept on checking in with me at each point just to make sure, is it comfortable, is it okay? And she explained how I should look after my braids. And I didn't know you could wash braids.
Yeah.
To be honest, I didn't know that. It was a new experience.
Okay. I feel like she just opened up a whole new world for you. She's like, oh, I sat down, my shoulders were relaxed, I could have had a cup of tea, you know, my edges weren't, it's screaming at me, my eyebrows weren't lifted.
No, not at all. And she also, she'd explain each process. She wouldn't talk over me, because I hate when you're in a hairdresser's and then people talking over you,
mm-hmm.
and it's on your head.
Okay,
so I just think it's, and if they're eating that, you don't know where that's going.
Yeah.
So with this experience of
food, if you see my face, it's just like horror. I'm just like, oh gosh.
So the positive experience is the fact that I was in a hairdresser's where somebody took up their time
mm-hmm.
to walk me through the whole experience and was very professional about it.
Oh, lovely.
Which I think is not very prevalent in our hairdressers, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Professionalism is always out the window.
I know, but we're trying to change.
I think if it's highlighted, I think if you mention it to begin with, people do change. But if you sort of follow the status quo, then just expect headache.
Yeah.
Leave with a headache.
I know. It also kind of like depends on where you go to as well.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes the less you pay...
Yeah, you get what you...
you get what you pay for, because a lot of people that are on the cheap end of the scale are not proper hairdressers. They're, as you said, women that can, or men that can do hair.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of make allowances for, you know, you're not paying a premium service, so you're getting the very basic of services, and like in terms of surrounding, in terms of skill level.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
But I don't think that shouldn't mean customer service goes out the window at all.
Yeah.
But it just is like a sad fact that
it really is.
Yeah.
But I think I find it's asking the right questions,
mm-hmm.
even if the customer service isn't great. But I would say my advice would be, whenever you go somewhere to get your hair done, make sure you've got the main points, that your key points on how you want your hair done are met.
Mm-hmm.
So if it means, is the place clean?
Yeah.
Is the person who's doing my hair? What knowledge, how far is... how much knowledge do they have about the type of hair I want? And will they give me aftercare? And if they don't give aftercare, will they provide some idea
of like what you should do?
Definitely. So I think that goes without saying, to be honest. But I think if you have those sort of points met, then you can have a pretty good experience.
Yeah, definitely.
So if, even if you're paying at the budget, if you're on a budget, you can still ask those questions. Mm-hmm. And they are obliged to tell you. They're not going to tell you, well, you haven't paid for that service.
Oh, no, not. Can you imagine? It's like, well, actually, if you upgrade your subscription to, like, you know, pay $4.99 extra and I tell you how to do that, that would be mad. But no, I think, and it's also not down to the client, but showing them that, you know, you expect a certain level as well. And then I feel like people will treat you with a bit more respect or care. Like, if you don't want people talking over you, just say, you know, would you please not? If you don't want people eating over you, which shouldn't happen, but it does happen. It does. But then I feel like some of the women are working crazy hours, so.
And it's also understandable. I think it's more, it's the human, human side of all of it all.
You have to give and take a little bit, isn't it?
You do have to give and take. I'm not saying that there's a right or wrong way, but you sort of treat it. You have to treat it as if this was me, how would I approach it?
Oh, no, true, definitely. I agree with you on that. Yeah. So let's take it back to the fabulous hair fibres that you have.
Yeah.
So at the moment, you have them in how many colours?
So we have them in black, dark brown, blonde, auburn, and grey.
Okay, so it's like the whole kind of spectrum of natural shades as well.
Yes.
And what do you guys have coming out with it as well? So, like, you know, oh, actually, no, that's not what I wanted to ask you. So, we've talked about using them for edges. What if someone has a thin patch that's on, like, a different area of the scalp? So, maybe, like, sometimes I have people with not completely bald patches, but, like, you know, areas of hair loss that may not be visible, but in certain styles they are. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Can they use them on other areas of the scalp, or is it
they
just
can.
On the hairline?
They can, although we predominantly advertise it for thinning hairline, however, they do cover bald spots. So if somebody's got a crown area that's balding, they can use it. Mm-hmm. Or if it's around the sides, they can use it as well. And it will conceal it pretty well.
Cool. And for gentlemen, I know it's marketed for women, but I just, as I said, I like to explore other uses for things.
Yes.
So, men with receding hairlines.
Yes, they can also use it.
Okay.
With men, if they once they go to the barber, they can freshly use it.
Oh, straight after a shape up.
Yeah, they can use it, and then it will have that perfect shape up.
So what if their beard doesn't connect?
It also connects.
Hey! Oh, sorry. No, do you know, that's one of the most questions. Like, obviously, I treat a lot of women.
Yeah.
But then I like talk to like boyfriends and husbands and fathers. Like, the men will come also because they're kind of like, wait, you can restore hairlines? Or, you know, like they kind of creep in. Okay, like, what do you have for me? Yeah. So if I could like also, like, I feel like there's a new market there that...
It's interesting. With the beard, for men, they can actually use it. They can sneak and take their girlfriend's product.
Yeah, so why two?
Or pretend it's for her and really it's for you.
Yeah.
And I would say to use the pump so it's targeted.
Okay.
In order to make sure that beard connects.
Yeah, and you have like the little comb as well, so it can be like very structured in the way that you do it. And it won't look crazy like...
That's correct. And they can, to be honest, they can always use it on special functions. Especially when they've got a big wedding or birthday, and they just need to make sure
whenever
that
the camera's out,
Snapchat
is out. Okay, summertime, you know.
Yeah, summertime.
Miss hair. Everybody needs a little miss hair in their life. Cool.
The good thing is that because it's sweat proof, it doesn't smudge.
So you can wear it to the gym as well.
So you can wear it to the gym. You should see a recent video with Beulah, one of our influencers.
Yeah.
She recently did a video around her working out in the gym and using our products.
Oh, nice. I haven't seen that one yet.
It should be. So you can use it in the gym and work out, and your hairline would still be intact.
Can you imagine? That's like revolutionary. Because I feel like it's one thing, because I feel like with all of the, not saying just hair replacement, but like, you know, like the things we do to maybe camouflage or like mask hair loss, even in terms of like wearing wigs or certain styles, there's always like, can I do certain things? You know, if the wind blows, am I going to be stuck? Like, you know, like last week when we had storm, I can't remember what storm it was.
Well, a lot of women's
everybody was telling people, secure a wig. But with this, there's no chance of it like blowing away or...
No.
So it is sweat-proof, weather-proof.
That's correct.
If you happen to be a little bit heavy-handed, you can like move it around and like blend it in very nicely.
You can.
Yeah. Because I had a little demo before and I really like the way it looks. Like, it looks very, very, very natural. It doesn't look coloured in or like, you know, like pencilled or even powdered in. it just looks like the hair just like magically gets denser.
That's the aim.
Yeah.
Because we are we want a premium product, and we want our customers to feel that when they're using our product.
Mm-hmm.
So the more natural it looks, the better it is.
Yeah.
Because you don't want people to detect the fact that you've got something on.
And that's the idea. Which is that it's really good for like the customer, because people won't know that they're wearing anything.
That's the idea, yes.
But I'm hoping that people will share their secret, because no one's going to be able to be like, oh, wait, I can see that you've done something. Or maybe like if they knew you before, they could tell.
I think if they knew you before, or if you've got before and after pictures.
Yeah, if you've got before and after pictures, yeah. Cool. But like on the road, no one will be able to know any different.
Nope.
That there's you're doing anything to enhance your hair, which is great.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
So anyone can use it without being obvious. Unless they're being heavy-handed and they want people to know they're using it. That's the difference.
I mean, they use their own. Like, everyone is beautiful in their own way. If they chose to have a very strong hairline, I mean, I guess.
It's the same. It's like makeup.
Yes.
You can have makeup on and it naturally enhances what you already have.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have makeup on and we know that you've got makeup on.
Yes.
And it exaggerates everything.
I feel like one time I was going to try it and be like, let me just exaggerate my hairline and see how it looks.
And then push it forward.
What would I look like if my hairline was just like an inch forward or something?
That would be an interesting challenge.
Yeah. Do you know why I thought that? Because I went to a conference this weekend where there was a hair surgeon,
right.
And he was showing how he'd done surgeries to reduce people's foreheads,
yeah.
And make their hairline come forward like even more. And I could not believe it. He was installing lace fronts for real on people's scalps, and it was just...
That is interesting.
It was magical. It was great. So, if you are sitting at home wondering, okay, this sounds a bit too good to be true. I'm sure there's like all manner of chemicals and like, you know, juju and I don't even know what else like even say. Just nonsense in this product. If you could give me a little bit more insight into what your product is made from, how safe it is, because I know now everybody's on like the natural, chemical-free, vegan wave. So, cruelty-free as well also. So if you could just explain in like a few words, you know, the background, the science behind Miss Hair Fibres.
Okay, our hair fibres contain natural ingredients. We don't use any nasty chemicals, artificial fillers or preservatives.
Mm-hmm.
So we use mineral-based colorants to dye our fibers, chloride and aluminium. And we have an anti-satytic agent to help bond the fibers.
Say it one more time for me. That was too quick for me.
Say it really slowly.
Yeah, please. I want them to catch that you guys are not, like, you know, you did your research.
So... hair foundation fibers contain natural ingredients.
Yeah.
We don't use any nasty chemicals, artificial fillers or preservatives. We use mineral-based colorants to dye our fibers, chloride and aluminium bicarbonate.
Okay.
And for static agent that helps bond our fibers to hair follicles. And that's what we use. And then we also have keratin, a protein that already exists naturally in human hair,
mm-hmm.
And cotton.
Okay.
And that's it.
But I'm just like, how did you guys like just whipping up work in the kitchen? Just like, yeah, a little bit of this, splash of that, a little bit of colour, and then like, hey presto, you got hairline.
Like, woo, it's done. For me, I wasn't around for the formulation side, mm-hmm. and stuff. I focus more mainly on the marketing and the influencer end.
Okay.
So it's my brothers that mainly sort of focus on.
They'd be in the kitchen working, yeah. Just making sure that.
Yeah, and I was like, it's fine, I will go out.
Yeah.
And go to the market.
I'll go and tell the world of our wonders how we are saving women from the embarrassment.
Exactly, women, and men.
The men, Mr. Hair. That's cool. No, I'm like, guys, so I feel like this is a brand that we can all kind of get behind and support. Birthdays, wedding presents. I thought, like, yeah, wedding, yeah. If you know someone's got like a...
Because no one takes offence.
Do you know what? If anyone, like, it's done with love, do you know what I mean? Especially because people feel, like, self-conscious about it. I feel like if you just, like... Send them, like, an email or something to be like, oh, I saw this and I thought of you. Or maybe I've got one.
Because... Yeah.
I know that most people want, that's their biggest concern. Even if I can't see anything wrong with their hairline, they're like, oh, my hairline's thin. And I'm like, sweetheart, it's full. There's no gaps for anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you are that way inclined, I feel like Miss Hair is a great product to try. And I feel like, yeah, you have to buy one for every member of your household, because you don't want to come home one day to thinking, yes, I've got a date, I'm, you know, going to step out tonight,
and you're ready.
And then you're pumping, and there's only air that's coming out because everybody else in your house is looking fresh to death.
And that, you know, that's a good problem to have.
I mean, it is, you know, it's a good problem to have, yeah. So yeah, so Evelyn, thank you so much for coming down to sit with me today and talk about your fabulous business. And where can people find you, and what other things do you have like in the pipeline coming up?
In the pipeline, we've got a lot of things that we're working on, so watch the space.
Okay, lots of secrets, yeah. Yes. Lots of
don't want to let anything out at the moment until we're absolutely certain it's perfect.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of moving parts at the moment, so it's just making key decisions around it.
Mm-hmm.
Where people can find us is basically on misshair.co.uk.
Yeah.
Or follow us on Instagram, misshair.co.uk.
Cool. And the last little note from me, they have like, if you go to their website, there's a really cool pop-up that is like Wheel of Fortune.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
It is. Yeah. Yeah, it is
Wheel of Fortune. I was going to call it Russian Roulette. I was like, no, that's not the right, that's not the right one.
Don't try to kill people.
Oh, can you imagine? So you can actually like potentially win like discounts and products and stuff like that. So yeah, there's like a chance for like goodies and stuff when you,
there is,
you
go just,
and support.
It's just to make sure that whoever visits our websites is engaged.
Yeah.
We try and encourage our customers to read our blogs, because we're constantly giving lots of advice,
mm-hmm,
on how to actually cater for your hair in the meantime. We also give you ideas of what to do, point you in the right directions of the right sort of specialist you may need.
Yeah.
And we encouraged lots of our customers to look at our Instagram. Feel free to comment, follow us on our Facebook as well. It's a good way to engage.
Cool.
And build a community, really.
That's what we really need. So I'm going to have all of your information in the box below. Is there any final thoughts you'd like to share with the people listening? Or are we good to go?
Visit us. Buy the products.
Come
buy
our products. Yeah.
At least try it once. We appreciate all feedback. Because that way, how else can you build and create a better product?
Oh, so you're better than me. I don't like feedback, you know. I don't tell me nothing. Unless it was like A1, I don't want to hear it. I get very like, oh, move away from me.
Oh, God. I thought, how would you want to grow? You have to get feedback.
I feel like I'm amazing already, so there's not really much room for me to
Yes, Emily, that's a great thing to have.
But really.
I think in this industry, you always have to look for continuous improvement.
Definitely.
So it's always good to receive feedback. And I think in our community, we don't get as much feedback as we should. So
I don't think
we
get constructive feedback.
Yes, we need constructive feedback. Yeah. You are right. We need constructive feedback, not something that's not going to help anyone.
Yeah.
So
like,
it's always good.
If you have comments or like concerns or like, you know, praise, I feel like they should be dished out in equal measure.
Yeah.
So like, tell people you like their product. If you don't like it, tell them why, with things that like they're able to change, rather than I'm gonna like it. And
yeah,
it's like, okay, so what would you like me to do?
Nothing.
But yeah. But it's all good.
It is good. People can email us directly as well, info@misshair.co.uk.
Okay, cool.
We'll respond. So yeah.
Let's get it on a customer on our Facebook, yeah.
Check us out, try it once at least and see if it's for you. If not, somebody else might need it in your family.
Yeah, and I'm going to have some in the salon, so you can possibly come here and try it out as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely good. And we're located, Ebony?
So the salon's located at the newly built Peckham Palms. You can find me at Unit 5 in Taitu. I'm here on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays. And so yeah, I'm excited to see you and help you with the assistance of Miss Hair to restore your hairline to its full glory.
Thank you, Ebony, for
having
me.
No problem. All right then. Take care, people.